On Wednesday, Wisconsin joined a coalition of 17 states in a lawsuit against President Obama to block his executive action on immigration. The president's action, which he announced on November 20th, could prevent deportation of as many as 5 million people living illegally in the United States. Texas Governor-elect Greg Abbott, who's leading the 17-state lawsuit, says the president's unilateral action on immigration is unconstitutional. The White House says the president is acting within his legal authority. Central Times legal affairs correspondent Kimmy King joins us now. She's an associate professor of political science at the University of North Texas. Kimmy, welcome back.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well, thanks. Well, let's start off with asking, what do we know so far about the legal standing for President Obama's executive actions?
Well, we know that presidents have long used executive orders, and we've known for at least the last 5 months that the Republicans had raised the concern that if he tried to use an executive order to accomplish this political goal, that they were going to do something about it. And we know that there are a number of states, conservative states, actually, interestingly enough, Wisconsin and Texas, joining together on this, that intend to challenge him on this. But this has long been a source of concern about this power of this balance of power between the president and the Congress and the ability of the president to use executive orders to accomplish what the Congress will argue is a legislative goal.
And what does that mean in terms of a legislative goal?
Well, I mean in terms of that he's doing an end run around the Congress, that what he should have done at issue in the lawsuit is this idea, it's called the Take Care Clause under the U.S. Constitution, Article 2, that the president has to take care that the laws are faithfully executed. So what that's meant from a Supreme Court perspective is that the president has this executive order power, that in order to see to it that the laws get carried out, he has the ability to use his executive order power, and we say with the stroke of a pen, by signing an executive order, he can accomplish something to further the implementation of the laws. What the battle between the Congress and the president is going to inevitably become is whether the president has overreached in his authority by using this executive order, and they are going to point to the fact that, you know, President Obama himself had said in previous instances in the past that he didn't think that he had that power to be able to do so in this particular instance, that he needed to seek congressional consultation.
Now, as you said, presidents over the decades have used this. Eisenhower, Carter, the Bush presidents, both of them have used this.
Absolutely.
How is what President Obama did different than some previous examples?
Well, I mean, let's go back to what happened. You know, FDR used an executive order to initially detain Japanese Americans during World War II and to put them into detention camps. So that's how far the power of the presidency has reached in terms of being able to use executive order power. What's important to highlight about what FDR did is that Congress then followed up and gave that support. So what the president is doing is really no different in some ways than what Ronald Reagan had done and, you know, the Bush presidents had done relating to immigration. But what's different about it is the political battle that the president will be facing because he's going to be having an opposition Congress come January.
So essentially you're saying this has been used before to the extreme of FDR with internment. The difference was that the president had the dispensation of Congress.
Yeah, and it can either be upheld or struck down. So in the case of FDR, they upheld the executive order power of the detention of Japanese Americans. But then we can look at what they did to Truman, because Truman used the executive order power to nationalize the steel mills. He took all of the steel mills and put them under federal government control during the Korean War, saying that the president had to be able to prosecute the war and that having the steel was important for the production of materials. And what ultimately happened in that particular situation was the Supreme Court slapped him back and said, no, you have overreached in this particular instance with the use of your executive order power, and that your method is too far removed. The use of the executive order and nationalizing the steel mills is too far removed removed from the issue at hand, which is, you know, he's claiming that he needs it to prosecute the Korean War, but the reality was these were steel mills here. There was no indication that military equipment was going to come to a grinding halt, et cetera.
So aside from Truman, are there other instances where presidents were in hot water over executive actions?
Well, there are in every particular when the president uses the executive order, the vast majority of the time he's under the radar. Presidents use it rather routinely in order to be able to accomplish goals. The problem in this particular case is because it's such a high-profile issue, and it's clear that the president is using it in order to be able to send a signal that he's going to stand with folks who support more liberalization of immigration policies, and because, quite honestly, we're going to be heading into the 2016 elections, and it is incredibly popular within the Hispanic population, between 90% to 95%, and I've seen upwards of some public opinion polls that say 99% of Latino and Latina voters are in favor of these kinds of measures. And so that's where the real issue comes in. Is this being used as some sort of political tool on the part of the president? And are the Republicans in responding, you know, fighting back?
So would you say that's the greatest liability that the president has at this point, that this is a high-profile case, it's very contentious, and it's very public? Does that make it more slippery terrain than other instances?
It may, but also remember he's highlighting some of the issues within the Republican Party, because the Republican Party itself is divided over this issue. You know, George Bush, president number 43, had raised the specter of being more supportive of immigration policies and had taken some heat inside the Republican Party. So there has been this divide for at least a good decade. In fact, we can even go back to Ronald Reagan and some of the actions that he took trying to liberalize immigration policies. Remember, he signed an executive order that allowed amnesty for upwards of 3 million people back in the 1980s. And so some people are looking back at that particular example. And so it's a combination of a number of different issues: the divide within the Republican Party over how to approach Hispanic voters, the concern Obama should be, the concerns he should be thinking about as he heads into the 2015 legislative cycle, where the Republicans are going to dominate in the House and the Senate, certainly come after him for the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, in addition to immigration. I think what's really at issue here is everyone is staking out their turf in terms of where the political battles are going to be held.
Governor Walker this week here in Wisconsin commented on this. He called the immigration system broken, and he said it should be fixed through collaborative federal action, not unilateral presidential action. From a legal standpoint, how persuasive is that case?
Well, it's actually quite interesting, and I also think it's interesting that Walker weighed in on it, because you see different states have different levels of persons that are affected by this. So I think there in Wisconsin, approximately 2% of your population would be affected. Here in Texas, we're running at about 7% of the population would be affected. And so depending upon the state and the governor of that state and the composition of the voting population inside the state, you're seeing various degrees of contentiousness. And to the extent that there are states that I think I would put it as gunning for a fight, whether it's a legal battle or a political battle, you're going to see levels of rhetoric that are going to rise to higher levels if it's thought that the stakes are higher. Now, one of the reasons why Walker may have said what he did is that there is a Supreme Court decision in 2011 in which there were concerns about Arizona trying to enforce immigration laws, and they had passed specific legislation that in essence said, okay, the federal government under the U.S. Constitution has the ability for enforcing immigration and structuring immigration, but it's failing in Arizona. And so, therefore, we are going to take measures in order to see to it that immigration is aggressively enforced. And the Supreme Court came back and said, okay, you know, there are four provisions that you're claiming here that give you the power to be able to enforce immigration as a state entity, but three of those powers that you are claiming are not yours. They are federal powers, and the power of immigration resides within the federal government. States can't take those, can't take that action. Now, what the Supreme Court did say in the Arizona case was that states could take additional measures to see to it that that they could verify the identification and the documentation of persons that it had reason to believe were illegal immigrants or undocumented persons. And so they gave the state a little bit of a victory on that, but overwhelmingly they made it clear that this is a federal priority. So to the extent that this gets pitted as a federal versus state function, the Arizona case indicates that the Supreme Court has said that, yeah, most of the power resides within the federal government. What will be really interesting is the extent to which the U.S. House and the U.S. Senate decide to take this battle on and say, no, we as a Congress think that he has usurped his authority. So not only are the states attacking Obama, but it will be the Congress attacking Obama in his use of the executive order power. And I think that'll be another important point. And Walker's raising that. That's why he's saying collaborative.
Kimmy, thank you so much for coming on and analyzing this with us today.
You bet. Keep up the good job, folks.
Thanks. That was Kimmy King, Central Times legal affairs correspondent and associate professor of political science at the University of North Texas.